That's the noise there.
Mount Rushmore National Memorial has some obvious offerings, and one that's hidden in plain sight. It's called the Thomas Jefferson Solar Canopy and features 975 panels that generate electricity equivalent to the average annual consumption of 40 American homes. The solar panels are part of a roof over one of the two parking garages at the memorial. In addition to generating power, the coverings protect cars from hail damage that can come when a storm rolls through.
It's protecting the vehicles underneath it, and people especially enjoy that about it in the summertime, and it provides more shade for the vehicles as well. So it's a really popular place to park under the solar array.
That's Kevin Crosby, the sustainability manager for Zanterra Travel Collection. It operates the concessions at Mount Rushmore. The company collaborated with the Park Service to install the solar system. The array powers the refrigerators that keep Thomas Jefferson's famous vanilla ice cream cool.
It provides over half of the power to our concession buildings here at Mount Rushmore, and we save in a typical year about $40,000 in electricity bills just from the solar array. So definitely has a payback, but the main justification for it was the greenhouse gas reductions.
However, a proposal by Black Hills Energy could wipe out the cost savings Zanterra gets from solar. The company wants the Public Utility Commission to approve a new tariff on those generating some of their own power. The tariff would charge those customers market rate for the solar energy they generate. The utility would buy excess energy for about 25% of its market price. Mark Ayer is the vice president of operations for Black Hills Energy. He says the utility provider is committed to renewables.
Well, this isn't intended to be an attack on renewables. This is really addressing an issue that that we've started to see, and believe it's in best interest of all of our customers to keep rates low, especially for those that are on fixed or low income.
Utility companies like Black Hills Energy, which serves 8 states, have 2 primary costs: energy generation and infrastructure costs. The fixed infrastructure costs do not change even when consumer demand does. It's the cost of energy generation that can change. South Dakota is one of 7 states that do not use a billing technique called net metering. That system credits energy creators for the electricity they add to the grid. That practice reduces a utility's cash flow. Ayer says the goal of the tariff is not to discourage solar, but to make sure those customers are paying their fair share of fixed costs.
We have to be able to provide that service to them. So even though they are producing at times, due to the intermittent nature of that service, at times they're not, and they're calling on our system to provide that service. And so, there's costs associated with providing that.
The logic of that argument is lost to some.
It's similar to you and your family build a garden.
Jared Kapp and Rachel Headley live in Spearfish and specialize in sustainable design and construction. They're one of 84 Black Hills Energy customers in South Dakota that use solar to power their homes.
Build the fence and build the raised beds and run the water lines and plant the seeds, and then the grocery store is going to charge you for every pound of food that you produce out of your garden. So it makes no sense.
The couple owns a company called Cobblestone. They have a net zero commercial office building under construction in Spearfish. If the tariff passes, Rachel Headley says the project is in jeopardy. They won't be able to afford putting solar on the building and won't meet the sustainability requirements that are part of their permit with the city.
People want to be more environmental. They want to use more renewables, less non-renewables. We have people that want to be more independent from the grid. We saw what happened when the grid failed in Texas.
Much of their neighborhood lost power during a major storm back in 2013. But Kapp and Headley helped power their neighbors by lending their generator to power phones and plug-in refrigerators. Climate change is likely to create even more extreme weather systems as temperatures rise. Lee DeLang is the chief operations officer for GenPro, a national solar energy equipment supplier headquartered in Piedmont. The company works on projects from utility scale to residential, from the East Coast down to Arizona. DeLang says he understands a utility company's perspective, but he says corporations looking to move to South Dakota might have some strict renewable energy standards. He says the Public Utility Commission needs to consider what the market wants, even if it's more renewables at a slightly higher cost.
Can we in some way partner with the utility to, you know, create some a little better scenarios than the one proposed that allow people to, adopt that systems behind the meter as well?
South Dakota ranks second to last in the country for solar capacity. DeLang worries this proposal could make that ranking even worse. However, he says he's glad there's debate on the issue.
If this tariff is passed, it's going to set a precedence for other investor-owned utilities as well as co-ops that might steer the ship in the wrong direction ultimately. So I think let's dial it back a little bit and let's talk about some other reasonable ways that we can approach this.
It could take months before the Public Utilities Commission rules on the tariff proposal. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.